Tonight's Big Brother recap is sponsored by DraftKings.com. If football is your passion, you know all the players and the teams, their strengths and their weaknesses. Now you could put that knowledge to the test and play for your shot at the $1 million top prize at DraftKings.com. That's almost as much as Corey's bid during the veto. It's just part of the $5 million in total prizes that they're doling out in the week one contest. DraftKings.com is the destination for 1 week fantasy football. 1 week fantasy means no season-long commitments. Just play whenever you want with the players you want. Just pick your contest, draft your players, and follow your team live. You could renew old rivalries by challenging your friends, friendship, and family in a private league to prove that you're the superior GM, or join an existing league and go head-to-head with friends, coworkers, and fantasy players from all across the country. So hurry to DraftKings.com now. Choose your players, and you could win some serious cash in week one. Use the promo code ROB and play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code ROB, R-O-B, to play for free for your share of $5 million in total prizes in this week one contest, only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Coming to you live from my in-laws' basement, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who's garbage, and if you're garbage too, let's be trash together. I'm Rob Cesarino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Big Brother recap here on Wednesday, August 31st, the last Big Brother day of August, as we approach the final 3 weeks of the Big Brother season starting tomorrow. And we are on the first night of a fun-filled week of me on the road traveling, but still podcasting about Big Brother. And we're going to have something that I like to call Round Robin Week here on the podcast, because for the next three episodes, we are doing a round robin where two of the LFC, the live feed correspondents, are going to be here with us. So first, of course, he joins us every Wednesday. Please give it up for the man who we're 85% sure about, Alex Kidwell.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I'm here. I love that pickup line. Finally, a pickup line I can get behind. And, yes. You know, I like to consider myself a bit of a forecaster of the events at the Big Brother house. And, you know, it's very snowy in the backyard today. Unfortunately, the weather inside, mostly stupid with a chance of dumb this week.
I think it's a delightful. Yeah. All right. And then joining us, I'm not sure if he's on one of the 1 billion names on Santa's list. Brent, welcome on. Brent, how are you?
Rob, as a young gay boy in 1985, I asked the same question that Paul asked tonight. What is girls? What is girls?
Yes,
I love
yes.
that.
So that was very fun. I did like the online dating sequence sitting docs. Very fun. So anyway, so should have a very fun show for you guys tonight. We're going to talk about everything that went on in the show. Christmas veto. What the hell are James and Natalie thinking? Where do we go from here? You may notice some fluorescent lights flickering in the basement here. So it should be a fun show all the way around. Hashtag RHAP to get your questions in, or on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. All right. So I guess we should start this off with Nicole and the plot to take out Meech. Looks like everything is going as planned, Alex.
Yes, smooth sailing ahead, right? You've got Nicole winning veto, so she controls all the power, consolidates it in one spot. Corey's got the care package, we know that. And your target sleeping the bulk of the time. So yeah, she's really not making it too difficult either.
Yeah, so far so good. Now, in terms of what Paul and Victor are trying to do, Brent, Paul comes to Nicole with a plan and it's like, hey, why don't we go? Let's put Natalie on the block. She'll be freaking out. Meech is freaking out. James is freaking out. It's not because I'm worried. It's not because I'm paranoid. Let's just do this. Did you like that plan?
Hated it, actually.
Oh.
Paul really overestimated his persuasive abilities here, and he failed to take into account the single most important thing in Big Brother, in that in order for somebody to make a move, it has to benefit them. In what way would this benefit Nicole? It would benefit Paul greatly. He's completely out of danger and he doesn't have to worry about anything for the rest of the week. On the other hand, Nicole has to put up with James and Natalie for 3 to 4 days, asking them why did they betray her. A lot of bad blood could come out then. Her game could get blown up then when they know everything's out in the open. So this is a terrible idea on Paul's part. I'm just glad for his sake that up until at least Monday night when the veto ceremony happened, that Nicole hasn't freaked out too much yet about Paul wanting to come off the block.
And then the third part of this equation, obviously, is James and Natalie and what they're thinking. Alex, are Nicole and Corey really selling this well to James and Natalie, that James could be 85% sure that everything is still good? We saw them tonight talking about, like, well, I hope that Nicole didn't forget that we have a Final Four or anything like that.
Yeah, well, a lot of the conversation among, you know, the people who watch live feeds, the fans this week has been, you know, how good is Nicole at this game versus how easy are people making it? And I think it's a good conversation because, yeah, I mean, certainly if James was really asking the questions he should be asking, they would be having to do more work. Instead, James is really distancing himself and trying not to alienate or do anything wrong. And it's already, you know, the fix is already in, the pot is boiling, and you know, he's getting dropped in pretty soon. So if he doesn't start squirming now, then he's not going to have a chance.
Brendan, who do you think's been worse this week, James or Natalie?
Oh wow, I was going to say Michelle, but if you're talking about James or Natalie, I would say James because he's the vet. Although Natalie has shown more of an ability to have good perceptions in this game, you think that she would know that something is up. I really don't think that she does. I don't think that James does. I think the thing is, I think Michelle does think that something's up. I mean, you know, you can call it block paranoia, you can call it whatever, but I was watching Michelle, I think, you know, the days all bleed together. It was either today or yesterday. And Michelle said, well, I'm not going to go up to HOH because when I was HOH, Nicole didn't come to me for anything. And I'm like, that is a terrible reason not to go up to the head of household room. Like, you need to proactively go up there. Rob, she hasn't been up there all week long. It is Wednesday. I mean, Rob, it is Wednesday. It is boggling to me that she thinks that she's this safe after letting everybody know that Nicole was her target. It just boggles my mind.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Go ahead, Alex.
I was just going to say, I think ultimately what we're seeing is just, you know, the oil separating from the water, so to speak, in the house right now, where you've got the people who are clearly capable at this game, demonstrating it in terms of how they're thinking. You've got Paul clearly forward thinking. He's making moves to set himself up for the future. Nicole, forward thinking. How can I play this week so me and Corey can remain in the middle? Michelle, James, and Natalie right now are stuck in either what has happened in previous weeks or where are we right now? And none of them, I've listened to them talk about all kinds of things for all number of hours this week. And I can't even tell you if one comment had to do with how do we set ourselves up? Where is this going to put it? It is so stuck in now and where we were. And that is not good for your game.
Let me put a pin on the Meech subject and let's come back to that in a couple of minutes. But let's talk about James, because we talked about throughout the season, James is doing a really good job. James is in a really great position. Is this the best possible game that James has, Brent? And is a seventh place type finish, or it won't be seventh, but sixth place type finish, is that best case scenario for James in any given Big Brother season?
I mean, I have to look at the evidence and I have to say yes, because I mean, he has a severe misunderstanding of what happened last week and why Victor is slinking away from them this week. He said the following: they wanted us to vote out Victor, they being Corey and Nicole, and we did. And it pushed him being Victor closer to Corey and Nicole. I'm like, no, James, that is not what happened. That is not what happened. What happened is that you exposed the fact that you were vacillating and Natalie was vacillating about the fact of whether or not she wanted Corey or Victor out of the house and let Nicole and Corey know that they can't trust you. And that's why you're in a bad position right now, not because you did what you did last week.
Yeah, it's really amazing to see how things just like, okay, we're just going to get to this point. Everything's going to be fine. Don't talk to the HOH. Don't worry about it. We got this. And they don't got this.
No, they don't got this at all. And it boggles my mind. I'm sorry. I keep coming back to that word, but it's the truth, because it is Wednesday. And I guess we'll talk up until Monday, but I've already spoiled the fact that they still haven't talked to them. Maybe they will eventually in the next 24 hours, but they haven't talked to them. It's just, it is infuriating as somebody who loves Big Brother that they have not had one conversation to ask Nicole, Paul still the target this week? Like, that's all they got to ask. They haven't even asked that. It's just, Alex can tell you about it. It's just, it's bad gameplay upon bad gameplay. And tell also, me about it, Alex.
Well, also, I think one thing that James keeps coming back to is he just doesn't see, and, you know, Michelle touched on a little bit in her DR in the episode. A big problem here is that they can't see how it makes sense strategically for anyone not to get rid of Paul. And that's a problem, too. The minute you start telling yourself that your point of view is the only point of view that makes any sense is the moment you kind of like blind yourself to other possibilities, such as the realization that Michelle is so incredibly attached to you two right now that she's literally not even talking to anyone else anymore. How could you not be seen as a three? I mean, I know James, you know, everything he says is about me and Natalie. He only really cares about protecting him and Natalie. You know, he'd be happy-ish letting Michelle go, but, you know, from the house perspective, there's no way to, you know, separate them at all.
Right. And the other thing, too, is like I was listening to Natalie earlier this week and she said, well, if I win head of house, I'll come up on Thursday. I'll put up anybody. I don't care except for James and Michelle. And I'm like, the rest of the house can see that. They know that you would not put up James and Michelle. They know that the rest of them would be in danger. So how can it not dawn upon you that your perception of the way things are, meaning that the three of you are so tight together, is not totally visible to the rest of the house? They just don't see it.
Now, why didn't James and Natalie get more suspicious that Nicole didn't take Meech off the block to put Victor up? I mean, Brent, isn't that a big red flag that maybe she's not working with us, that she is leaving our ally up on the block and isn't putting up the other guy?
Well, the big misconception, I think, throughout the last 2 to 3 weeks of this game is that, you know, Victor says to Paul, you know, dude, you're my social game. I don't think that's really true. I think Victor has a very good social game and he's pretty well liked in the house. The enemy number one this week has always been Paul. I don't think anybody really cared what the other person was. Michelle is just a holding piece to James and Natalie. They think she's up there as a pawn. And Nicole made a valid, somewhat tenuous argument to them saying, look, I want Paul to go this week. He's my target. I don't want to get any more blood on my hands by putting Victor up on the block. So I'll just leave him off and that'll create some goodwill with me for my game. And they bought that.
Okay, let's talk about Michelle. And we've really seen sort of that she rose from the ashes at the point where it looked like her back was against the wall. And it seems like she is just completely meltdown Michelle. It's really just been just a complete disaster, Alex. Her game is in shambles. That she was bad, then I felt like she was good. She had the Meech Mentum, and now back terrible again. What's the difference now between 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, when she was riding high? Does she need to have somebody to be publicly railing against that, like she was doing with Pauly?
There's an element of that. I also think it's a really great that you used the rose from the ashes metaphor, because I think what she's done is scorched the earth. You know, in resurrecting her game at that moment, she burned a lot of bridges. She called Nicole a snake publicly and has repeatedly done so. She has leaving no chance to go back and repair that relationship. I mean, we saw Paul on, I believe it was just Sunday's episode. Certainly within the last two episodes, we saw Paul go at Nicole publicly in front of the house and attack her and berate her, but then still have the wherewithal and the ability to like swallow his pride and go apologize for that moment and rebuild that relationship. What Michelle has failed to do in pretty much every situation, she'll make these big, you know, Big Brother Canada Godfrey-esque speeches, and they're grandiose and they have the effect of catching attention. However, what Godfrey would do, what players who are good at this game do, will then is damage control. You've got to go and then you work the social game, say why you did what you did, talk about how it was a spectacle, how it was for television. Do whatever you have to do, but repair that relationship before you need that bridge. And Michelle has done none of that really this season.
Brent, is Meech a fatally flawed Big Brother player? And what I mean by that is, hypothetically, if she was to return to the game in another season, do you think that she could fix whatever is wrong with her game from what you've seen?
Wow, that's a tough call because people can grow and change. I mean, I look at who I was, you know, say 5-10 years ago, and I'm a completely different person now. Oh, wow, Alex.
23.
Thank you. I knew she was young. Yeah. I was 30 years old and I'm a child. I'm still a child. So me to 23, come on, give me a break. I think that, I do not think she's fatally flawed. I do think that there are elements to her game that are good.
She's flawed.
I do think, though, she has totally dropped the ball this week. And I guess a little bit of it is her, she appears to have no confidence in herself whatsoever. I thought the editing was very telling tonight. I loved the editing of the episode tonight because it was like Big Brother was showing us this girl's falling apart. And that's why she's going home on Thursday. Because
it was so wacky.
Oh, wasn't it though?
Yeah, wow. It was. Well, what is going on there with this? She's under the blankets. And for those of us who are not on top of the live feeds like you guys are, Alex, what's the issue there? You need to keep the microphone next to your face even when you're sleeping?
They need to be able to get a clear audio feed from you. And if for whatever reason, like in that moment, if she's got it clipped to the edge of the pillow and she turns to the other side of the pillow, I think at that point, it's really almost more than anything a production just telling her to get the hell up already. Mm-hmm. Because there was and she's been doing a lot of sleeping this week. So part of me thought maybe that was just a little bit of a game they were playing. But yeah, if she were to say anything at any point, they definitely would have chimed in with that because the microphone needs to be somewhere where they can get the clear soundbite.
Just to really explain really quickly to people, when you sleep in the Big Brother house, when you go in the shower or whatever, you can take your mic off. So she could be in bed. She's supposed to take her mic off, get into bed, and that's fine. And then the overhead mics will take over if she says anything or blurts anything out. But the minute she starts talking again, she's supposed to put it back on. What happened was she went to bed with the mic on. It's rolling around in the pillows there. And it's probably creating some audio distraction for Big Brother and if they're trying to catch anything. Although, on the other hand, I agree with Alex. She wasn't really saying anything. I think either they were being proactive or they were just screwing with her. I'm inclined to think the latter.
Yeah, they probably don't want any more broken mics, too.
Yeah, probably.
Factor here.
Probably. And then she ends up Natalie's talking to her and she's talking about how I'm never going to win this game. I hate how I look. She's just all over the place about five different subjects of problems that she's having. I mean, it's really a sad state of affairs for Big Meech, Alex.
Sad Meech.
Sad Meech. I think that they probably just need to put her out of her misery in this Big Brother house. She'll be a fantastic juror. Brent, can't you see her on finale night, really just wanting to be the second coming of Stu Hawk?
Yeah, exactly. Then all the pressure's off. She knows what she's supposed to do as a super fan. She knows she's supposed to ask the tough questions and say something funny or bitchy or witty to the house guests during the final two. I do think that the pressure is maybe getting to her a little bit at this point. The problem is she's never had a good relationship with Nicole, and she doesn't know how, as Alex correctly pointed out, she doesn't know how to swallow her pride, go up there and have a civilized conversation with Nicole and let her know, hey, you're really not my target next week. She has never, ever said those words to Nicole to let her know that, Victor would be my target next week, but it would never be you. And Nicole knows that if Michelle is with James and Natalie, someone has to sit on the block next to Victor. And who's likely to sit on the block next to Victor? The person who's winning the comps lately, and that's Nicole.
Wait, is Michelle a super fan?
Well, I mean, comparatively to everybody else, I would call her a super fan. She at least knows who Ian Terry is, which I think is a prerequisite for calling anybody knows. A super fan. Oh, yes, she knows.
I just think it's fun. I can't remember the last DR we got that didn't start with as a super fan. And then we literally cut to a DR where Nicole said, Michelle is a super fan. So she literally just told us, how many times can we be reminded of Meech's status? It's pretty funny. Yeah.
I do think that Meech is going to be really way into the Big Brother after the fact. I think that we will be happy during the digital season that Big Meech is on Twitter. Yes. She'll be fun. But I think that, her time is just about, I think that she wants to go at this, she may not want to go, but yeah, I think that she's ready. She's ready to move on.
She might have been better suited for the digital season, which is a little shorter. I mean, she's been talking about how Big Brother 14 would be over by now.
Big Brother 14 would have been over by now.
God.
Why'd I have to be on such a long season?
I could already be chilling with Frank at the finale, you guys.
Right? Yes. Yeah, right. Yes. So is it a fair point, Brent? Is the 99-day Big Brother season, is that a more watered-down product than the 74-day season?
I mean, I think we could argue that in theory, but I'm not going to feel sorry for Michelle if she gets the opportunity to play a big brother and is stuck in a house for potentially 99 days. I mean, anybody would kill for this opportunity, specifically the man who you talked to on Sunday night, Glenn. He never even had the opportunities that Michelle had. She's crying about the fact that the game's so long. You knew last year that the game was 98 days long. Big Brother always likes to better itself somehow or improve itself. So, of course, it was going to be 99 or 100 days this time. So she should have seen this coming a mile away that the game was going to be this long.
But with that said, I think the fact that they give them Jenga and cards and stuff once they get down to like final five answers your question.
Okay, that's true.
Alex, just total non sequitur. Does Vanessa win a 74 day season of Big Brother? Big Brother 17 is like 20 days shorter. Does she win that game?
I don't know. I mean, she really underestimated Steve. So yes. Will she like suddenly not underestimate Steve? I don't know. You know?
Yeah, that was always her problem. She could never get herself into a position, unlike Derek, unlike Andy, where it didn't matter what happened in the final HOH competition part three. It for Vanessa, it severely mattered. It was literally a one question difference between $500,000 and being a legend and being a third place finisher, and that's what happened to her.
Yeah, I don't think like, you know, the duration of the season like affected her emotions to the degree that she made like illogical decisions down the stretch or anything.
Okay. All right. I didn't want to spend too much time on that. I just thought it might be interesting that like maybe somebody who's playing like the more aggressive game might have the better chance in the shorter season. And it's probably an off-season podcast with Parhar. So let's talk about this idea that Nicole was floating during the episode where she says to Corey about, hey, I don't know, maybe we should put Paul and Victor on the block and take a shot at one of these guys already. And Corey ends up talking her out of that. But Brent, that in your mind, do you like that move for Nicole?
Love it, because she has to make this move. I mean, the move is made for her, because if you look in an ideal world, I'm sure, you know what? Paul is a jury threat. He's a capable player. He can talk his way out of anything. I would love to get rid of Paul if I'm Nicole. Would love to. But the problem in doing that is you now cannot play head of household next week. The only person who's now with you is Corey. You have Meech, who's coming after you, James and Natalie, who will not put up any of their little trio. And who knows what would happen to Victor. You know, Victor at that point, is he mad? Does he go over to James and Natalie at that point? So you have to make this move. Anytime she started thinking about maybe I should possibly evict Paul here, this is, you know, my family screaming at me saying get him out, it always comes back to the fact that she's leaving in a trio going into the final six, one of whom has publicly said, I want to come after her, I want her evicted. So she has her hands are tied here. She has to make this move if she's a Big Brother game player who's self-interested, and she is.
And we've talked all week long about the three reasons why this is a very, very strong move for Nicole. And let me see if I can remember what they are. But one, she takes out Meech, who is coming to get her. Two, she keeps Paul and James going to war at each other. And then what's the third reason? This is the third reason why this is a good idea. That nobody's going to put her on the block? That's not it.
Well, I mean, no one is going to put her on the block. I can't see that happening. Maybe as a pawn next week.
But what? Alex, but that, and we've laid out all the pros for it, but at the end of the day, is this just too cute though? Is it too cute? You're going to like, we're going to wake up and she's going to be in the final four or the final five. Like, don't we know, don't we expect that Paul and Victor are going to flip against them once, either if they get James out at final six, aren't they going to turn on her and have a better chance to pick up whoever that straggler is at final five?
Probably. I mean, they'd be right to. Whoever that is, though, would be right to. And I think, you know, that's part of the two versus two versus two dynamic at this point. There haven't been a lot of seasons where it kind of came down to this. And the few where it did, I think only Big Brother 11 and Big Brother 13 are really the only ones I think of where it was any kind of solid two versus two versus two situation. And really, in all those situations, that's kind of what happened. I mean, although in Big Brother 11 at six is when you had this big lie where it was really kind of four versus two. Right. And Natalie and Kevin are able to convince Jeff that he needs to take out Russell instead. Because, so, I mean, yeah. I mean, there's precedent for that, certainly. And I think it really, all you can do is set yourself up as best you can to be the middle two. And then at that point, the chips are going to fall where they may.
So, Brent, that when we talk about people that play these games, don't we say, you know, go big or go home? Isn't the more aggressive move to get out either Paul or Victor? Her and Carl Corey talked this through, and they said, like, oh, what do we have a better chance? Should we go to the final four with people we think that are easier to beat, or should we take the safer shot to get to the final four? And I think they said, like, we'd rather take the safer shot to try to get to the final four. But at final five, that if we're going to say, even if they get James out next week, are they better off in the world where if they got Paul out, or if they, let's say they took the shot on Paul this week, I don't know who would go out next week. Maybe it could be Nicole or Corey, but if they got Victor out next week, hypothetically, are they better off in a world where they are with either the threesome, I'm trying to do this all without scrap paper. Are they better off in a world where they're with Paul, Victor, and Natalie, or are they all better off in a world where they're with James, Natalie, and Meech?
Wow. Okay, here's the thing. I feel like I sort of wish that Taryn was on this podcast. Maybe Alex can channel him for a second, because I feel like Taryn would say you want to put yourself in the best position to win the game, where I think that you should put yourself in the best position to get to the end of the game and have a chance to argue your case, okay? So, look, this is what you have to consider. If going into next week, if they took out Paul here, only Corey can compete for Nicole, and she would be in a dire position going into final six. So I feel like she has to make this move. Hopefully for Nicole and Corey, what happens next week is James or Natalie wins head of household. It really doesn't matter at this point, because no one's coming after Corey and Nicole. I feel like whatever pair wins final six head of household is going to be severely disadvantaged going into the final five, because they won't be able to play for HOH. Their partner will be the only person who's playing for them, presumably against the other three, and they're going to be in a bad position.
Okay.
So given that Corey and Nicole are unlikely to be that head of household at final six, I think they're in a great position.
So I like this. And full disclosure, if I was Nicole, I would probably go with the plan that she's going with. I think that's probably the better move. So really, it sounds like that the best case scenario for Nicole is that James or Natalie wins HOH in this upcoming HOH, and that they take the shot at James and Victor, because then if you get one of those guys out of the mix, then there's a chance, like, hey, we didn't do it to you, Victor. We didn't do it to you, Paul. You should work with us. We're still working with you. Let's get James and Natalie out of the house. And then whoever's left, Natalie, come with us. I think that's a better situation going into that final five, where James and Natalie just took the shot at breaking up one of the pair, and you could pick up that other person.
If you're Corey and Nicole, I'm sorry, Alex, just to make this clear. If you're Corey and Nicole, the worst thing you can do for the final six is have Corey win head of household. See, I mean, they may not see it. It may be too tempting for him to want to win if it's within his grasp. But if he wins head of household, he's in a severely disadvantaged position going into the final five. Whereas on the other hand, if anybody else wins head of household at final six, whoever is the leftover person from either James and Natalie or Victor and Paul, whoever that leftover person is that is the partner of the evicted person at final six, they will go with Corey and Nicole, and Corey, Nicole, and that person will be competing against one person in the final five. So you see how this is a good position for Corey and Nicole to be in. I really like it.
Okay, this is good. This is very smart. I really like what we've, I feel like we're really on to something here. We're a lot of times, we're just like grasping at straws.
It comes down to the point, you have to recognize that you're in a bad position if you go into a competition where there's only one person from your side competing, essentially against the rest of the house. It's the old Big Brother rule that is, you know, Taryn talks about it all the time. It's so vital to this game that if you're the outgoing head of household, you cannot compete in the next head of household competition. If Nicole could compete next week, maybe she makes this move. I don't know. But I know she knows that only Corey can compete for her if she evicts Paul, and she's likely to end up on the block, and she doesn't want to be on the block.
And the thing I was just going to add was that, you know, in a potential situation where you're staring down at final five, James, Natalie, and Michelle, there's really no potential for variance. You know, those three are locked together. If you've picked off from each side a little bit, if you've got, say, Natalie, Paul, and Victor there, there's no sure thing that Natalie's going to want to work with Paul at that point. There is possibilities for variance that doesn't exist with the other outcome.
And then the final part of this, Brent, do you feel that Nicole will be able to sell the vote out of Meech to James and Natalie in a way to make them feel like Nicole and Corey are still on board with them?
That's so funny because that's exactly where my mind was going when you started asking this question. Yes, because Michelle has given her the blank check to be able to cash. Michelle has let it be known
that she wants in this house.
Exactly. And Nicole's not going to bounce this check. She's going to cash it. She's like, okay, I know that Michelle has said that she wants me out of the house, because she can easily go to James and say, look, you know, I don't feel really great about keeping Michelle in the house. Paul isn't specifically coming after me for my game. You know, it's final six. She has to say, for my game, you know, I need to make this move. Everybody thinks that it's a double eviction, just so you know. Everybody thinks that it's a double eviction on Thursday. So Nicole keeps talking about the idea about telling James ahead of time. But so far, I don't think it's going to happen yet. We'll see, if, you know, what happens on the live feeds. But up until Monday night, she hasn't said anything to James or Natalie about her true intentions this week.
Yeah, this is still the big shoe that has to drop that will determine which duo ultimately is in the middle. It seems like it's going to be Nicole and Corey, but ultimately, until they tell James and Natalie the truth of the situation, we can't know for sure how they will react.
And Brent, are you in the camp sooner the better that she tells James and Natalie that that will be the best way for them? Or should she blindside them? What do you think that she should do?
I mean, the TV person in me thinks she should blindside them. And I think the game player in me thinks that she should blindside them too.
Why? Or maybe tell them right. Why blindside them as a game player?
The more opportunity you have, like if you told Michelle on Monday night or Tuesday night, okay, Michelle, I you said you're coming after me. We're going to vote you out this week. She has 3 full days to blow up everything that Nicole has said, anything Corey has said to her and James, any final 2 or final 3 or final 4 deals that they've had together. I mean, it may be known to Paul and Victor that Corey and Nicole probably at some point did make a final 4 deal with James and Natalie, but to actually come out and say it and said, this is what we said, and this is what we said, we were going to get you out. You know, that adds some teeth to the argument. You do not want to give her that opportunity. I think you should really blindside her here or tell her at the very, very last minute, right before the eviction.
Alex, give me the percentage chance that this is all going to work out. Are we looking at Nicole as the front runner right now to win this game?
Yeah, I think she's the front runner. When we did the rankings on Monday, I had Nicole 1A and Paul 1B. And yeah, I don't think anything's changed since that. Paul seems slightly more capable to me, but Nicole is certainly in the better position.
Brent, does Nicole beat Corey in the final 2? Could this all be for naught? She takes Corey to the final 2 and then all these bros in the jury house vote for Corey?
Wow, I don't even really want to think about that. Nicole said earlier today that Corey would win a jury vote 9-0.
If she takes him to the final 2, then she deserves to lose.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I think
who she's with.
Exactly. I mean, I think Corey might be the best person for her to sit against in the final 2. I mean, comparatively, if she's there with like Victor and Paul and, you know, even Natalie. I take that back. I think the house guests don't respect Natalie. I think they'd vote for Nicole. But look, for Nicole's game, she doesn't realize it coming up. But the worst thing that can happen to her is, again, Corey winning head of household. As long as Corey doesn't win head of household, they should be golden for the final 6, okay? And all of a sudden, it's Corey, Nicole, and that straggler of the partner who's ever evicted competing against one other person in the final 5 HOH competition, because the outgoing HOH can't compete. She's in great position. She set herself up to win. That's all you can do in this game.
Yeah, it's wild that we're going to a final 6 on any of these shows with Survivor and Big Brother. When we have a final 6 and it's 2-2-2, that's always really exciting for it to play out that way. Sorry, go ahead, Alex.
I was just going to say, I think certainly, there's going to be the Paulies and such that have voted for Corey. But I think we definitely saw something tonight that speaks to why Nicole would beat Corey. And that's this Michelle DR, where she genuinely believes that Corey's $1 billion was just like his guess. Like if there are players believing that Corey is that level of stupid, then you know what I mean? Like, it's very difficult for me to see him winning over the majority of the jury if there's that perception that exists. I mean, that's a level of stupid that is basically unfathomable if he was really like, if there was no strategy in that.
But I thought it was great, though, because it was genius on his part. I can't believe that I've never thought of that strategy. I mean, I know the stay and fold strategy about, you know, having your friends fold and one person stay in. I know that part. But I never even considered his, I'm going to guess $1 billion, purposely stay in to give my girlfriend a free shot to win the game so she can't be eliminated here. That was absolutely genius. Kudos to him.
I think we're giving him too much credit. I think that the way it worked leaked out was that it ended up being a free life for Nicole. I think that in his mind when he did it was, hey, I don't want to compete with her because I could be close enough to have the right answer. And if I'm right and I get a candy cane, that doesn't help Nicole get closer to winning the veto. It worked out where she would have been the one to be eliminated had he not made such a crazy answer. It was a doubly smart thing to do, but I think he did not know both of the reasons why it was smart.
It's right. A possibility, but he
didn't necessarily know she would be the high number. So there's no way to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it could have worked out that Meech Meech did get the point on that one.
Yeah. Meech got the point on that one. Exactly. I don't know, in the brief time when the feeds were off before the veto competition, maybe he told Nicole at some point. Of course, then when she came back, she said, I didn't know what to do at that point. So, but he was so adamant about 1 billion, though. I have to think that that was his plan.
I think it was a little too over the top. It reminded me a bit of the Alec Beal when he throws the HOH and goes to shake Andrew Gordon's hand. Andrew Moynihan. Sorry. Right. You know what I mean? It's one thing to do something crafty like that. It's another to throw it in everyone's face by saying 1 billion carats.
It's too cute.
It's okay. So cute.
Bushmaster type situation. Okay.
Can we talk about the editing job on Corey tonight?
Let's talk about that. Brent, you talked about the edit tonight. So funny, Corey, during the conversation. It's just that it bums me out that he is getting this edit of he's such an America's favorite and he's winning the care packages for stuff like this. He is not doing this is amazing editing of somebody who's saying really dumb things, Brent.
Oh my gosh, Rob, it's so much fun. I loved what they did, and they rarely do this to a guy. They usually do it to the ditzy girl, kind of the Victorias of the world. So I was loving it that they did it to the big blonde jock, with the big butt and the big muscles that Nicole loves to look at, and he's just looking at the reindeer wow, that would be fun to ride. It was like watching Big Brother on acid, watching that whole veto competition every time they showed Corey. I thought it was pretty apt, actually. I think that's how I perceive Corey in the game right now. I'm glad the editors see it my way.
Yeah, shades of David Gurton trying to spell a word to save his life for the power of veto, looking up, seeing the word competition above him, trying to get there, failing, and coming up with absolutely nothing. That's what this reminded me of. I wanted to spell competition because I saw the word and I'm trying to win the competition, bro.
Yeah. He's going through all the things. He's like, well, I see there's 9 nutcrackers over there. Oh my gosh, there's so many things. Oh my gosh.
What about how he told us he did 8 times 3 for the nutcrackers and then his number was 120? I'm like, Corey, I'm following your logic and I'm still not with you, bro.
Yeah. Let's talk about in that competition, Paul's strategy. Brent, this is a little bit of a Price is Right type game in some ways, in terms of, getting this bid that's going to be closer without going. You can go over here, but you know what I'm saying. So for Paul, where did he go wrong in this game?
Well, I don't think he really did go wrong because, he wanted to make sure that Michelle at all costs did not win the veto, because if Michelle wins the veto, there's a definite possibility Paul's going home. Nicole, everybody just wanted to make sure that Michelle didn't win the veto, and he accomplished that task. I think he was in there, like he said, he stayed in as an insurance policy. If anything went totally wonky with anybody else, then if it came down to just him and Michelle, then all the strategy's out the window at that point. He has to go for it at that point. He has to stay, and he knows that. So I thought his strategy wasn't terrible. The funny part is that I didn't really hear much on the feeds about them. Alex, maybe you can correct me. About them talking about stay and fold. Usually when people are talking about stay and fold, Big Brother has caught on in recent years not to have this competition. So I haven't really heard them talking about it much. So that's why I think Big Brother brought it out.
Yeah, well, I think that's also part of why it got pushed further back in the season. It's been held earlier in seasons before. And it was Amanda Zuckerman who first figured out how to game this, because they had a big group alliance that was everyone versus Alyssa on this thing. I think, in this instance, it...
What did you think about his strategy, Paul's?
I think ultimately it's good, right? Because it presents him. Here's the thing, Michelle. The reason Nicole is so scared of Michelle is she's this wild loose cannon that will say anything and blow up my game at any point, and it's scary and I can't predict it. And Paul, what he's doing is presenting himself as a clear option of predictability. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm fine staying on the block. No worries if you don't want to, and then he's just going to go out. Look, I'll be an insurance policy. Then he goes out and he's an insurance policy. What you see is what you get. That's what he's selling. And that's what Meech is not selling.
Okay, let's go jump into some questions from you guys tonight, and then we'll talk about what's going on the live feeds. And let's start with R. Vandervest, who says, what should the artist formerly known as Big Meech do to try and stay this week? Dye her hair blonde and become BFFs with Nicole? I'm not sure why that would necessarily work. I mean, it didn't really work for Paulie when he tried to act like Paul. Alex, could you give us the game plan for Big Meech of what she would need to do? Is it just sell James and Natalie down the river?
Oh man, it's pretty tough. I mean, yeah, she would have to do something that creates a separation there, because there's no ignoring. You can look at and talk about all the strategy and all the nuance you want, but there's no ignoring a three at this point in the game. At six, going into six, there's no ignoring a three. You just can't. Those simple numbers are always going to beat any other argument. So yeah, she has to do something that would completely distance herself. She has to, I don't know how she would go about doing it. I don't, you know, I mean, Paul and Victor had some success staging a fight for these people. I don't know that Michelle and Natalie could do something like that. But I mean, you know, if Meech started like burning James's clothes, maybe that would be a start.
Well, he's very sensitive about his clothes. He gets very upset about his clothes.
Well, Meech was threatened to burn some things. So, yeah. You know, now's the time to start. If you're going to go pyro.
Yeah. Brett, anything else that you want to add to the Meech playbook for this week?
I mean, look, she can do it whatever she wants. She hasn't planted any seeds coming into this week, as Taryn likes to talk about. She hasn't said anything that would, you know, make Nicole buy any of the things that she might try to sell her. You know, maybe she, look, her best argument is probably something to the effect of, Paul and Victor are plotting against you. You know, they're plotting with James and Natalie to get you up on the block next week, which is what Nicole fears more than anything, which is why she wants to evict Michelle.
Oh my God.
I know, right? But again, it comes back, as Alex and I talked about, that there is a clear three. This is the best reason for Paul to sit on the block and take his medicine, because every time he fears, okay, maybe they're going to go against us here, maybe they're going to evict me. Maybe she would like to evict Paul here. He's a great game player. He's a jury threat. Get rid of him. But she can't. Her hands are tied because there's an obvious threesome. She has to get rid of one of those three and give herself a chance to get to the end.
And again, we're talking about planting seeds. I go back to the idea that she scorched the earth. You know, if you harvest all the crops and then burn the ground, nothing new grows there. That's kind of how that thing works. That's why it's called scorched earth. Like you sowed the ground with salt, Michelle, and now there's just no way to plant the thing and have it grow. Like, that's the problem with going that over the top with these speeches and then not doing any damage control afterward.
Okay. Agriculture lesson from Alex Kidwell tonight. Danny Kest says, since Nicole and James haven't been on the block yet, are they considered the best players of the season? You guys touched on this on the reality TV Happy Hour the other night about, are they so great because they haven't been on the block? And you guys pretty much universally poo-pooed this, right?
Right. I don't know of anybody who's a Big Brother fan who says just because you haven't been on the block means you're a great Big Brother player. James, look, it's all about perception and knowing where your position is in the game and knowing about where other people perceive your position to be in the game. And Nicole certainly has that. She has a good understanding of where her position is currently in the game and where it could be at final six and final five. James, on the other hand, it is totally lost on him why it would be a good idea for Nicole and Corey, even though they're maybe in a final four with James and Natalie, maybe if they had their druthers, would like to go to the final four with James and Natalie, but they can't go to the final four with James, Natalie, and Michelle. It just doesn't work that way, James, and he can't see that right now.
Yeah. And can we wait till the end of the season before we crown them as one of the greatest players ever? And they never haven't been on the block yet with 3 weeks left in the season.
We can wait till the end of the season to crown anyone.
Yeah. There'll be time enough for counting when stuff happens. Okay. Can you guys explain how to win the Stay Fold competition?
Alex, take it.
Okay. How to game it? Basically the plan is to like have an order of who's going to win, right? Like, this person is going to win unless they get out. We're all going to fold to them. If somehow they lose to the person who's, you know, who we're all trying to get out, then we go to number two. We're all going to throw to him and fold and fold and fold. If he gets out somehow, you know, basically it's setting up the one you're trying to get out with five coin flip scenarios where they have a 50-50 chance of being eliminated from the competition. And that's great odds.
Okay. All right. A few more questions and then live feeds. This is from Jerry D. Nat and James say they hope Nick and Corey are still set for their Final Four deal. Then soon after that, Nat says she has to get Nick out after Paul. She's not planning to keep their Final Four. Why should she think that Nicole and Corey should? Well, this is, you know, Big Brother,
right?
You know, people don't judge by their own actions. They only care about what other people are doing.
Yeah, right, you know, if I was able to do things and no one else was allowed to do them, I'd win every time. So why wouldn't I want to create that narrative where that's how shit things should be? You know what I mean?
Right. You can call Natalie out on her hypocrisy here, but it's probably a good game move to get Nicole out sooner than later, because the comps that are coming up definitely favor somebody like Nicole.
I'm laughing in the chat that Entasys 23X wants to know, is Rob in an escape room right now? Yes, I literally am. Richard Shores wants to know, do you and the panel think that the reason James hasn't talked to Nicole is that he knows in his gut that Michelle is toast? I don't think we should be trusting James' gut feeling on anything.
No, that's definitely not true. James does not know that Michelle is toast. He has no self-awareness of where his position is in the game and why they're seen as a unbreakable trio. He that's just it. I mean, he doesn't see it. And the reason he hasn't talked to Nicole is he's kind of a chicken. He doesn't want to rock the boat. You know, if you don't put it out in the universe or it'll happen, you know.
Also, yeah. It's been more since Monday, but it really has been a preoccupation of James this week that, like, him and Natalie are finally, it's the point of the game where you're starting to talk about what's going to happen after the season and where will we go and who will we be. And, his focus on the game, I think, at this point is secondary. I think he's preoccupied with the idea that a relationship with Natalie might be slipping through his fingers that he wants to avoid that at all costs.
Shock. I'm shocked, Rob.
Okay.
Shock.
Yeah. Big Brother Network has a pretty good post about this up at bigbrothernetwork.com. Alex, what is it exactly that happened that's making him feel this way?
So there's been a couple comments and it's been various discussions that just kind of over the course of time have led him here, but it's like, you know, you can hear it with the conversation, with the way he talks when he's asking, you know, would you ever be interested in someone like Paulie outside of the house, or you know, like what, or you know, conversations about like how you would dress when you're in a relationship, or like there's just a lot of things that are coming up that just, you know, why and where he's fishing. And it's hard for me to watch, man, because I do see a guy who, you know, has been burned by, or feels he was burned by the Meg situation. And
there we go. Thank you.
He was not burned. He certainly feels it, but it, you know, perception is reality for him. And I think this is a bit of deja vu. He's like feeling it like, oh, what the hell is happening again?
Like, yeah. Rob, this is what's happening. I mean, I'm like, look, this is real life, okay? And Big Brother is not real life. That's the problem. Real life, you have to play in your league, okay? I know where my league is, so that's why I play with those kind of people. James, when he gets in the Big Brother house, he's like a minor leaguer, and he gets to play with the big boys all of a sudden. There's this beautiful Venezuelan girl who's all of a sudden interested in him, which in real life, I'm sorry, 99% of the time is not going to happen. Can weird things happen in life? Yes. Yeah. But most of the time,
right, well, let's, look let's like not get into who's in,
it's
who's
the
in
truth. League. It's the and, real team, Rob.
There's a lot of people that would argue that league. Yeah.
Hey, Rob, so you got into it on your Survivor season.
Sure, but I wasn't under the wrong impression. Like there were people in all seriousness, when I was on Survivor, like Jenna and Heidi would say things to me when we were in the game, and they would say things to me like, oh, after the show is over, yeah, we'll probably blah blah blah, and I was like, I'm not buying this. No. And that, I think you have to be able to see through this. It's, believe me, totally different thing than what James and Natalie are. But
also, your island math doesn't apply here. Everyone has plenty of showers and access to anything they want.
Right. But I think you have to be able to see like, okay, this person won't even kiss me in the house. Then I think this is a pretty good sign that you could talk yourself into it. And it happens all the time in real life of, you know, is this person really into me? And I think that James probably is not really that, is unperceptive in the game. And then also is sort of like, you know, it has his head in the sand about things, matters outside of the game too.
Well, what the hell?
Sad story.
Yes.
Sad story. Okay. So let's go ahead. Let's talk about the live feed.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
All right. Okay. Alex, let's get the update. Anything at all to report?
Not so much. I mean, we kind of have already been getting into it. Not a lot of developments.
It's so amazing.
Michelle wants. Yeah, I was going to say, it does seem like Michelle now wants to do some campaigning, but it's going to happen tonight or tomorrow. So it's really, for our purposes, it really doesn't do us any good. I think for the first time today, though, James said to Michelle, like, maybe you want to actually campaign, which I don't know if that means James is actually considering that she might be in trouble or if James is just like offering Big Brother 101 to somebody. But yeah. It's okay, possible he's considering
that's it. That's fine. Then if there's nothing to talk about, then let's throw this topic out the window. Nothing to talk about. Thursday night, we'll watch Michelle get evicted, and then I will be on with Brent and Taryn to talk about it as Round Robin Week continues. Let's talk about something that's a little more interesting. And I don't really like to get into a ton of the gossip on the show, but this is too hilarious to not discuss at some length whether or not this could be happening. There have been reports that items, and this sounds like the setup to a veto, there's been a report that items are missing around the Big Brother house, and some of the house guests are thinking that maybe Big Meech is stealing props and items from the Big Brother house and putting them in her bag so that she could sell them possibly on eBay after the season is over. And I would love to talk about this. All right, Brent, first, that we were going to talk about this right before the show started. I said, no. We talk about this on the show. Brent, Big Meech, do you think that is this something that's happening?
Well, I mean, we can't prove it. I don't think there's any proof, but
where are the charges coming from? Who's saying that she's doing this?
Well, Michelle said it. Okay, so let's be clear about this. Michelle on Saturday told Natalie, and I don't even know if Natalie was paying attention, okay? But Michelle said that she has taken some things from each Big Brother house guest, and she's planning on selling them on eBay or some auction site after the show, okay? Now,
what did Natalie say?
Natalie was like off in a dream world. Like she was like, okay, Like I don't even think it dawned on her that what Michelle was saying was, I've been stealing from y'all and I'm planning on making some money off of it. Okay. So that happened. All right. And it was amazing when it happened because all throughout this season, things have been randomly missing from the house. And like, you know, as a live feed watcher, I listened to it and I'm like, I can't be bothered with these people. It's so stupid. You know, like obviously they lost something. You got, you know, 16, 15 people living together at one time. Of course, things are going to get misplaced. But on the way to the play, this is what happened, Mrs. Lincoln. So, James is looking for his sweatshirt, right? And he can't find it. All of a sudden he finds it wadded up in Michelle's bag. Okay. All right. And this is a sweatshirt that he was like looking all over the place for. So he gets it out. Michelle, who has adamantly told everybody, do not touch my bags. They're off limits to you all. Okay. Like, you know, she gets freaked out. Anytime anybody goes near her bags.
How often does that happen?
I don't know. Well, not often because she makes such a big deal about it. But this time James found his wadded up sweatshirt in her bag. And she had a fit about it, which I think is hilarious because if I'm James, I'm the one who's going to have a fit about it. Michelle had a fit about it. You know, why are you going through my things? Why are you touching my bag? I told you not to touch my bag. So combine that with what she said on Saturday and how many things have been missing in the house, of which there are plenty and we can get into them. I definitely, take into consideration the fact that Michelle, she is a quote unquote super fan. She's a BB Reddit girl. She likes to she knows this sort of thing happens after the season. She's perceptive enough to be able to like, okay, I want to grab all these things to make sure I make some money after the show since I'm not very likely to win. I think she's doing it. Alex, what do you think?
Okay, well, there's been not much going on the feeds this week, so I've done some serious digging into this.
Okay, good.
Ridiculous issue. I've listened to the audio clip about 10 times. And what she what she actually says, and it's being misreported everywhere. What she says,
correct the record,
is that my hairbrush is being used by everyone. I have everyone's DNA on this hairbrush. I could sell it on eBay. That's what she actually said. At no point does she say, I took people's things and I'm going to sell it on eBay. She says, I have everyone's DNA. So
is that what she said? DNA?
That's what she says. Yeah. No, no, no. And it's completely misreported on pretty much every feed.
She has everyone's DNA. Are there any other house guests that are collecting DNA, Brent?
Maybe Nicole and Zakiya in the jury house. I don't know, Rob. What do you want from me? I mean, like, I look. Okay, you can set that aside if you want. But she's been really weird about the bag thing. Things have been missing it all season long, and randomly, James's sweatshirt is in the bag. I'm sorry, Rob. I think she's stealing shit from people.
So I'm just saying that Big Meech is getting ready to go eBaying after the season. Alex, you were saying Michelle not guilty.
Well, there is no evidence. There is zero evidence to prove anything, and I've looked for it extensively.
Okay.
That being said, it started as this joke over the DNA brush, but there's like, she has made several jokes over the course of the season when she gets irritated about selling somebody's thing on eBay, which means it's here. It's at the forefront of the mind. Mm-hmm. She had, when Paul said something about touching her clothes, she said something about setting Paul's clothes on fire. She said something about being arrested for shoplifting at JCPenney when she was a teenager. So like, you're 23. Was it 4 years ago? Or like, I don't know. You know what
right?
I mean?
Right. And Rob, just so you know, that fight that happened between Paul when he said the C word and they showed it on Sunday night's show, that happened because one of the reasons why was because Paul went over to Michelle's bag and touched her clothes. And
do that.
Yeah. All right. So
but she's wearing Tiffany's shirt. She's wearing Bridget's yellow bandana. Paul can't find his $300 sunglasses. All of Nicole's bathing suit bottoms are gone, which seems like the kind of move you would do if you hate Nicole. Like, but just, you know, me.
What the freaking hell?
And then, with James's hoodie, it was at the absolute bottom of her bag.
At the absolute bottom of her bag.
And James was like, oh, yeah, pretty good prank. And she was like, yeah. But it's like, dude.
Bazinga.
Prank, you reveal the prank if it's a prank. If you don't reveal it, now it's stealing. Like, that's how that works.
Right. Alex, is this like when Ruben Rivera stole Derek Jeter's glove to sell?
It's starting to look like it. Like I said, I've done extensive research. There's zero proof. I could back up none of this. It is all conjecture and hearsay, but it's really funny, so I'm enjoying it.
First of all, this is such a terrible plan. Here, this is the dumbest plan ever, whether she's doing it or not. That when people go on, like after the season is over, and then it's like eBay seller,
Michelle Meyer,
has James Hewling, authentic sweatshirt. And it's like, well, where did this stuff come from? Like, isn't it going to be like really obvious, like who the culprit is?
I think she's thinking she's going to leave all these people behind after the show, and she doesn't really care about them. So, and she hasn't. To Alex's point about her Michelle earlier in the season, she hasn't really made that many bonds with people, so she doesn't care about Frank.
Here's what we need to know. Alex, so Big Meech's sister is running her Twitter account, correct? And then didn't they get into a fight over clothes on Twitter recently also?
So yeah, there are two Big Meech accounts that have been going on all season. One run by your younger sister, Alex, one run by your younger sister, Renee.
Which has more followers?
It's close. Off the top of my head, I'm not sure. But yeah, no, I mean, Michelle had made a couple comments about like, my sisters better not be wearing my clothes. And yeah, they're like, we don't want to touch your nasty clothes. Like, there was some funny, like,
I thought they really hit her. I thought they really came after her hard. Meech's sister, they're not punchers. They're counter punchers. they're going to come. They came after Big Meech hard. And then they were like tweeting out pro Nicole stuff also. So I think what we need to ask them, what's going on here? If they could set the record straight, because I think they would give us the honest answer. We don't know the answer if this is happening or not.
So Renee has 12,000 followers and Alex has 7.
Okay. All right.
So Renee is winning the battle. I think she's older.
So whoever's more on the level, I would love to know if they could either let me know on Twitter or let some of our listeners know on Twitter what's going on there, and let us know. And if they say no, absolutely not, Meech is not doing this, then that's good enough for me. I'll drop it. If they say, yeah, we think she is doing this, because they seem like to me, like if they're willing to go to call Meech out for stuff in the house and they're related to her, I feel like that they'd give us the honest answer.
If nothing else, it's really, really funny, Rob.
Yeah. It's not like asking Cody, hey, do you think Paulie was really crying in the Big Brother house?
Yeah,
like, you'll exactly. get the real answer. Okay.
All right. We'll get the real answer.
All right. So anything else about this? What are we calling this? Meech Close Gate?
Meech Gate. I'd have to think of a better name. We need to workshop that, Rob.
Okay, we'll work on that.
I wrote down Kleptomeech, but
Kleptomeech. Chat room, this is your area of expertise. The ball's in your court, chat room. All right, let's do a couple more questions here tonight. Then Gregory McBean says, "What's a harder task, getting the hairbrush out of Nicole's hair today, or keeping Meech safe this week?" Today, this was the worst day. I was on a conference call today. And that I'm down here in this basement, and I'm on a conference call with two other people, and my wife comes downstairs and she's just like screaming, and she's just like looking at me, and she's got a hairbrush up to her head, like I'm like, what? And she's like, it's stuck in my hair. Like, I don't know. What do you want? I'm on a call with people. Like, they can hear you. What do you want? What do you want from me? What do you want? Do I get off the call here? What can I do to solve this problem?
I know. I love this question because for a second there, I'm like, did I miss something on the feeds today? Like, what happened with Nicole and the brush? Yeah, I'm with you now. I'm with you. Yeah, your wife, Nicole. Exactly. No, I actually, believe me, I think keeping Meech safe is the harder task this week. There's no way it's happening. I don't see a way out for her. I mean, she can try and throw. If she gets wind that she's moving.
Like the hairbrush in Nicole's hair.
First of all, she's
way out. Yeah, they're both exercises in futility. Yeah.
Right? Exactly. She has to ask the question. She has to ask, you know, am I being evicted tomorrow? Because, by the way, this is important. Michelle wants to wear her eviction dress, as you saw during the double eviction when she did a quick change during the commercial break. She wore three outfits during the double eviction, by the way. That's like, I give her all the props in the world for that. So she wants to wear her eviction dress. If she's going to be evicted, she'll be really, really bitter if she doesn't get to wear that dress. So I'm kind of inclined to think that they are going to let her know ahead of time, but I really wish they would blindside her and have her like in shorts to go.
Yeah. She is ridiculous with the wardrobe changes. It's like a Vietnamese wedding. Okay. I've been to Alex, one. I know they changed. Changed like seven times.
Alex, that is it a good idea strategically to blindside Big Meech to prevent her, if she knows she's going home, from going on a crime spree like we've never seen before in the Big Brother house?
Yeah, Bonnie and Clyde, burn it down.
Just, if she's the saboteur and we don't know it,
that's right? It could be. Just to update everybody,
she doesn't go full Brandon Hance. You know, that's less sanitary indoors.
I think so. Just to update everybody, what's been happening on the feeds is that it seems like Paul has talked Nicole into blindsiding James and Natalie at this point. So like they have up until right now, they have not told, Nicole has not told James and Natalie that Michelle is going home. Like Nicole has said to herself, if they don't ask me, I ain't telling them. So, and I don't know if James and Natalie are going to ask her at any point. So Nicole just wants to keep it as vague as possible. If James just goes up to her and asks her, like, you know, so Paul's still the target, I'm sure she'll probably say yes.
Go ahead.
It's okay. And she'll just act all innocent when the votes come in and she has to evict Michelle.
I was just going to say, how insane is it, this idea that you could be living in a house for an entire week with six other people, and the only thing you have to think and talk about is this game for $500,000, and you haven't asked what they're doing with all the power this week? Like, that's the only question that matters. It's so insane.
I know.
I think that this is an interesting battle between Paul and Nicole, because I think that Nicole should tell them, because this is the season where if you want to rattle somebody, don't tell them, like, let them be blindsided on the eviction show. But for Nicole and Corey, as we established earlier in the episode, if it's in their best interest that either James or Natalie gets the HOH this week, you kind of want them going into this to be, maybe their adrenaline is up because they end up like, we still haven't established the scientific proof whether I'm going to rattle her is actually a good strategy or not. But I think you kind of want James and Natalie feeling like everything is pretty much on the level. They could be loosey goosey in the HOH competition, Brent.
Yeah, I can kind of see it both ways, though, because I mean, Paul's argument is totally porous. Let me be totally clear about that. He's saying, well, you know, like they could be really rattled in the HOH competition. Bitch, please. That has never worked and will never work. On the other hand, they think it's a double eviction coming up. So I know you think, well, maybe it's a good idea to talk about it ahead of time. On the other hand, if James and Natalie win head of household after Michelle is evicted in a supposed double eviction, as they think it's going to be, I mean, I think left to their own devices, they're always going to put up Victor and Paul anyway. I mean, they're never going to put up. Natalie is never going to let James put up Nicole when Victor and Paul are sitting right there for the taking, no matter how mad they are at her.
Okay. I think you are just as likely to motivate someone as you are to rattle them in that moment. I agree. That's my perspective.
Could go either way. All right, let's do one more question. Ed Mo wants to say, did Corey stock jump with this episode? All right, Alex, now you guys do the stock watch on the Happy Hour with Jordan. Corey stock, where is it right now?
Well, I mean, he was barely seen before. So now he's actually, he was shown last episode being given a bribe and talking about things he might do with it. And this episode having some semblance of a strategy in the game.
Where's the bribe going? We didn't talk about the bribe.
It's still not set in stone. I mean, it's kind of, Nicole is really saying that, like, I'd rather try to keep it for the HOH competition. And if you don't end up using it at all, that's better than wasting it. And there's also been some talk about, you know, like speculatively giving it to Nicole to ensure she does something she's already going to do. Give it to Victor. He's already going to do that. But no, I think the idea that, I don't know if it makes the most sense or not, but the idea that seems prevalent now, the one I heard the most recently was hang on to it until after Meech goes and see if there's something that comes up.
But I want to ask really package. Quickly. I thought, I mean, I haven't actually seen the rules. So like I thought the rule said it had to be used like before the upcoming eviction, correct?
I did HOH competition.
I thought it was competition. Yeah, okay. Until there's all a right. new HOH.
Okay.
So right. maybe all it's right. like incentive for someone to step down or
all right. Well, he's probably going to wait. But see, that would be terrible again. This bribe could really hurt him, because if he wins head of house, or if he goes into head of household with this bribe thing, he could potentially win head of household when otherwise he would not have. And that would be terrible for Nicole and Corey's game at this point at the final six.
And really, I mean, there's not a ton of things that people would agree to do at this point at 5K that are really going to benefit from. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Okay. Very fun show tonight. I thought we had some real good strategy talk. We had some fun stuff with the big Meech talk. Let's go with the hashtag rap sheet discussing the crimes going on in the Big Brother house. I mean, this would be like a hilarious like veto competition where it's like all night long. It's like breaking news, everybody in the house, Big Meech has stolen an item from Paul. She has stolen the friendship bracelet, and now it's in her bag. It's like, all right, did Big Meech take the friendship bracelet before or after? It would be a great contest.
Stay tuned for ongoing developments as these reports continue.
Yeah. I love it that her name is like a mobster. It's like, the Big Meech has stolen this. Yes.
Yeah, all we're missing is like a car ridden with bullet holes, and she's got like the true like 1920s like saga. Yeah,
that's fun stuff. Okay, all right, great stuff tonight. Alex Kidwell, follow him on Twitter, he's at Alex Kidwell. Brent Walgamont at One Lucky Gay, he will be back with us tomorrow night. Now, for those of you guys who don't watch the Big Brother Happy Hour, the reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar, there's quite a rivalry that's developed between Taryn and Brent. Are you guys going to be able to put your differences aside and be able to concentrate on the task at hand tomorrow night?
Well, I think we'll be fine. I mean, thank God you have me on the podcast, because I have actual opinions where Taryn like just sits on the fence. Like literally my name, I have taken to call him Fancy Fencerton at this point, because he can't like, it's always like on one hand this and on the other hand this, but you know, maybe that's what makes him a good Big Brother player. You guys tell me.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll be
back. Right.
Fancy Fencerton. I don't know if that's going to stick, but we'll see. We'll see. All right. Very fun show. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. We got a lot of fun stuff coming up, of course, tomorrow night. We'll be back with more Big Brother. Also, this week, we may have a bonus podcast. I have been texting with the immortal Rodney Lavoie Jr., who has a big day coming up this week. It's his birthday. It's his damn birthday, bro, coming up this week. But he is close friends with James and wants to come on the podcast and talk about his opinions of his boy, James, and what he's been doing. And I don't know if it's all positive. So we'll speak with him in the next couple of days also on some special coverage that maybe we may tie that into all one show when we do the live feed update overnight on Friday. So be on the lookout for that as well. Not an episode recap, but just like some extra coverage along the way. And then, of course, on Sunday night, I'll be live once again with my show with Taryn and Alex joining me on Sunday night to finish out round robin week. Also, be on the lookout for our Gen X preview of the new Survivor season coming up that Nicole and I recorded before we left. That's going to be getting posted Thursday night or Friday morning, whatever. Depends if you're up late or not. And also, you could catch my interview with a generational expert, Jamie Goodfriend, to talk about millennials and Gen X's just in a big picture sense and how they might be interacting on the new Survivor season. A lot of people have really liked it. Some millennials were a little upset. They didn't want to be just painted as a big group of people. But it's fun stuff if you just go into it with a little bit of a grain of salt. Just a little bit.
Cool. Nice. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but I can't wait to listen to it.
I'm excited for it. Feels like my damn birthday.
Yep. There's a lot of stuff going on as well. Josh and Antonio are going to have a new Mr. Robot recap and much more on poster recaps, including my recap of this week's Fear the Walking Dead with Alex Kidwell and Josh Wiggler, which was a very fun podcast as well. All of our poster recaps. Have a good one, everybody. Talk to you again soon.